you know, at a DMO, our job is to help people create memories. Like, yeah, we can show them these things and we can give them information and help them figure out where they want to go. But ultimately, the product that we want to come out with on the other end is that they're walking away with good memories and good things to think about when they think back to Cheyenne.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Destination Marketing Podcast. I'm your host, Adam Stoker. We have a very, very fun post-Thanksgiving episode for you here today. We're all kind of, it's Monday. We just got back from our Thanksgiving break and trying to get back up to speed. And I thought, man, what a time to bring my friend Andy Jasperson on the show. She's a familiar voice. She's been on the show before, but today she is in a completely different capacity than she was when she was on before. So a lot's changed in a few months. Andy, how you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
Well, I think we should start, I guess, Andy, with the fact that when we talked before, you were a guest from the DMO side and you were at Visit Cheyenne. And now you are the director of public relations at Relic, which is a really, really exciting announcement for us to be able to make. And it actually all stemmed from that discussion when we had the podcast before.
It is. That was not on my radar at all at that point in time. And then we just chatted and here I am now, a couple months later. It's crazy.
Yeah, really exciting. And I do want to dive into a little bit of the decision to make that move. But before we do, we learned about your dream destination before. So I think what I want to know today, and this is a question I haven't asked before on the show, what is your favorite city that you have ever attended a conference in and why?
Ooh, I think that I would probably pick Anchorage, Alaska. It was the farthest I've traveled for a conference, but it had a lot of really cool excursions. Like it was a town that I felt comfortable in. It had a lot of similarities to Cheyenne, but it also outside of town had a ton of really cool things to do. And so there was this really neat balance of experiencing the destination in a real way and then having the conference. I just felt like it had a really good balance, but I got to go on a helicopter and land on Knik Glacier. I went to a muskox farm and bought more yarn than I probably should have because I'm a knitter. It was expensive, but totally worth it. I'm just finishing that hat up.
You are the first person that I've ever had tell me that you spent too much money on yarn. This is a first for me.
Oh my goodness. You don't have many knitters in your life, do you?
I don't.
Yeah, this was definitely the most expensive yarn I've ever bought. It's like, so Kivet is the under fur of the musk ox. It's got the black long. If you picture a yak, most people know what a yak looks like. So it's essentially the northern hemisphere yak. But underneath its long black hair, it's got this like really soft fuzzy fiber called kivet, and it is the lightest, warmest fiber known to man. So they hand comb it out of at the farm, they hand comb it. Otherwise, they collect it off the ground. And they spin it into yarn, but it's like $125 an ounce. So,
wow.
Yeah, it's expensive, but it's really lightweight, but super, super warm. So I thought, I'm here. I may as well. And I bought some blended. So it wasn't like I spent like $1,000 or anything, but, but it was really cool. It's my souvenir from Anchorage is to have that hat that I made myself. So
I actually do know what a muskox is, Andy, and it's because I don't know if you've ever seen the show Alone, but it's where they send these people out to live off the land and see who can last the longest living off the land. And the guy that won in the season I watched happened upon a muskox, a wild muskox, and was able to, you know, use the fur and the, I guess the kivet is what I should say, and the meat and everything to be able to survive and outlast everybody else. The guy definitely, like, it seemed like he was going a little bit bananas by the end of the show, you know,
yeah.
But he did win and was able to survive longer than anyone else because of a muskox.
That's
and so
awesome.
I did learn what it was because of that.
Yeah, they're really cool animals. I never thought I would be such a musk ox fan, but I am. have like a little sticker on one of my coffee mugs. I bought an ornament for my tree. I'm a big fan, big fan.
I love it. Well, we've digressed from your favorite conference you've been to your favorite animal, which I didn't expect, and that's totally on me. But what conference was it that you were in Anchorage for?
So that was for NTA Contact. It's like the CEO retreat for NTA that puts on Travel Exchange. And so that's mostly tour bus operators and then destinations pairing up and making those connections. So Contact is the group that is most of the decision makers, the owners, and they've got a smaller, it's more educational rather than selling face-to-face. And so Cheyenne is actually hosting it next year. I got to announce that. And I was part of that process, but now I won't have to do all of the hard work. I might show up and volunteer a little bit, but it's not on my plate any longer.
Nice. Well, that does sound like an amazing conference to go to. Alaska has a very special place in my heart. I drove tour buses in Alaska. Those that have listened to this show have probably heard me talk about that too many times. But it was my first kind of foray into the tourism industry. And I didn't even realize that I was part of something that was going to be a huge part of my career long term. And it's really become a special place for me because I think it was critical to me being interested in the tourism industry. But Alaska would be an amazing place to go to an event. Andy, I know those that listen to the show fairly often may have heard you, but I know we also have people that didn't hear your previous episode. Why don't you give us a brief rundown of who you are and maybe what led you to be the director of public relations at Relic?
Okay. Well, I, for the last 4 years up until Labor Day this year, was working for Visit Cheyenne. I was the experience and marketing manager there, which covered a lot of things. As a small DMO, I had a lot of different hats on. And so, you know, I did the tour bus sales. I did the international sales. I did marketing and oversaw, eventually got an employee that I oversaw do social media. But the experience part of my job was probably my favorite part. And it allowed me to work with our partners in the community to help them develop more engaging and immersive experiences for travelers instead of just like, oh, come see our museum. It was come to our museum and maybe see the behind the scenes aspect. Or like a good example, I've got a woman who lives out east of town who owns a ranch, and she has homesteading experiences that you can go and you go milk the goats and you churn butter and you make farmer's cheese and bake some bread, and you're doing all of the things that you would do if you were actually a homesteader or pioneer in the old days. And it's just a cool hands-on experience that families can do when they come out here. So I helped her kind of develop that out and expanded her idea and her vision of that. So that kind of applied. I helped put together the rodeo that we've got during the summer. We're known for Cheyenne Frontier Days, but we also have the Hell on Wheels rodeo we started in 2020 to help engage the community and get that economic development kind of flowing, because Frontier Days had canceled. So we said we can't have a year without rodeo. So we developed our own, and that's been an ongoing thing, and that's been cool. But all of the experiences that are engaged, like wrapped up in that, are so memorable for people. And, you know, at a DMO, our job is to help people create memories. Like, yeah, we can show them these things and we can help them, you know, give them information and help them figure out where they want to go. But ultimately, the product that we want to come out with on the other end is that they're walking away with good memories and good things to think about when they think back to Cheyenne or your destination, you know. That's where I was at when I went to Toronto for the Destinations International Conference. And Adam and I kind of ran into each other, and we were just kind of chit-chatting about what I enjoyed about my job and what I liked to do at my job. And when I started talking about PR, Adam kind of perked up in his chair a little bit. And because I did, I was heavily involved with the public relations part of Visit Cheyenne, that I did a lot of the responding, and I wrote a few press releases and worked on a daily basis, a nearly daily basis, with our PR firm. So that part of it, being a writer myself, I had that knowledge and just that interest in the written part of that job. But I just felt a lot of fulfillment in that. And so Adam said, well, what do you think about maybe helping drive the strategy of the public relations side of things? And I was like, oh, I don't know. It was kind of one of those, like, I wasn't thinking about that. But the more we kind of chatted, the more my wheels got turning. So you were kind enough to say, sleep on it. Like, let's circle back around to this after you're home and the excitement and the endorphins wear off a little bit. And so, but I did reach out and I said, hey, this actually, I want to know more. And so it was the easiest interview process I've ever had, because it didn't feel like an interview at all. It was just like, okay, now I'm going to talk to these people, and now I'm going to ask questions of these people. And it was just such an, it just was a very natural transition over to this job. Now, it was really hard to leave my position at Visit Cheyenne. And even now I get, you know, I was supposed to go to Paris. Disneyland Paris has a hotel called Hotel Cheyenne. That was one of the hotels that opened up the very first year that they opened up that resort. So that was 30 years ago. So we were going over to deliver a belt buckle to the general manager there and have like a whole experience. Oh. And I was supposed to go on that trip. And they just went, and I've been looking at all their pictures, and they visited Cheyenne's sister city in Lourdes, right at the foot of the Pyrenees. And I'm like, but I'm like, you know what, I'll go over and get to do the whole trip on my own timeline, instead of just like trying to cram in as much as I can in this small window. And so I know that I can get over there, but it has been a little bit of like my tummy has churned a little bit as I look at Facebook last week, but I know that I'll get some really cool opportunities. I already have had some cool opportunities here, and I've gotten to see new parts of well, Utah that I've had not been to. And then I just got back from California, and I hadn't been to California since I was like 3 years old. So it was sort of like having a new state. So I don't know. There's just a lot of really cool things that go with both sides of this equation, the DMO and the agency.
Yeah, it's not Paris, but we promise we'll send you places, right?
Perfect. You guys can't see me, but I almost spit out my water. On my computer.
You know, Andy, I think it's important that maybe we give a little bit of context and backstory here, that I think one of the reasons it was the easiest interview process you've had is because you and I had a chance to really get to know each other in the CDME program. We shared some classes together. Man, I think it's, when was it? June of this year? Or was it before that? Maybe April?
I think it was before that.
Like, yeah, March or April.
March or April.
In Dallas, right? And we had the opportunity to get to know each other there and kind of learn a little bit probably about how each other thinks, and built a relationship there, which I think, first of all, would speak to the value of these CDME courses that Destinations International has, because it's provided the opportunity for me to be able to network on a different level with people than I had before. And I know you're one class away from finishing your CDME, and we'll be working on getting that done in the spring, right?
Yep. I'm going to head over to Washington, D.C. and take my advocacy class. Is the last one I've got. And between now and then, I need to really dig in and get my claws into the huge paper that also needs to get written to get the certification. But I'm very excited. And I think when I started the process of that certification, I had my eyes on becoming CEO of a DMO at some point. And that might still happen down the road. I don't know. But I really do feel like everything that I've walked away from that class with, even changing from DMO into the agency, has still been valuable. And I've got I feel like I've got a good grasp on the industry that we specifically serve and can really speak knowledgeably on those higher levels. Like I was on upper management at Visit Cheyenne, but this has broadened my horizons to be able to look at what not just one destination deals with and struggles with, but the industry as a whole in the United States and Canada primarily, but just having that opportunity to see that big picture has helped me understand some of our clients who aren't in my immediate region that I understand.
Right.
So
intimately. Right. And that's where I think I'll give the remainder of the context here that earlier in the year, I had gotten a little frustrated with our PR product, and that's not to say that we didn't have a team that was working really hard and doing a great job. But what I felt like is we didn't have someone who really understood what was happening on the other side of the table, what it was like to be in the DMO chair. And that actually inhibited our ability to create a PR product that was going to provide the necessary value for destinations to need us, I think is probably the best way to put it from a PR perspective. And so I actually called my clients early in the year and said, hey, we're going to push the pause button on PR as a service until we can get the right person heading this up. And then I went to the annual conference, and as you and I were talking in preparation for our episode, you talked about how you had just gone through the RFP process to hire an agency for PR for Cheyenne, and that you had really discovered that PR was your passion, and or at least a really key passion point in your role. And as I saw your excitement and passion for PR in destination marketing, I thought, this really could be a fit, and it helps to already know you and trust you and understand how you think. And so anyway, I was really, really excited to hear that you were so passionate about PR. You had been in a DMO for several years. You had done the RFP process for Visit Cheyenne. You knew what destinations are looking for from an agency. So it seemed to make a lot of sense to have you kind of break down and rebuild our public relations product in such a way that it would win that RFP if we were to go through the process again, right? And so I'd love to hear from your perspective, as you had to sit down and say, all right, public relations for DMOs, I have a clean slate here. I can kind of break it all down and build it back up with what I think would be best for destinations. How did you prioritize the reconstruction of that product and decide what you felt like is going to be best for the destinations that we're serving?
I think that when I began the process, kind of digging in, looking at what Relic had done before and comparing that to what my experience as the DMO PR person, there were some gaps there. There were differences that I'm like, okay, well, we haven't really been lining up journalists to be in market. I mean, I know that happens sometimes, but it wasn't necessarily a priority, or we haven't necessarily done some desk sides with different journalists and getting to do those one-on-one meetings. And so finding those little pieces that were missing, and then being able to look at it through the lens of what a destination would actually need and what worked in my experience and what didn't work. It's really just a matter of looking at what have we done and what could we do? And I always kind of joke that I say I have potential vision. It's my superpower, that I can see what something could be fairly easily, that I've got this base product and I'm like, oh, you know what? If we did this and this and this, it could be huge. And my friends who own businesses sometimes don't like that about me, because I'm like, oh, have you thought about this or this? And, you know, and they're like totally overwhelmed because they would have to do all of that. So I guess this has been something that I have, I just broke it down to its elements and started thinking about, okay, well, how much time would we need to put in for that particular product? And really kind of itemizing things so that our side could figure out what's a fair you know, I mean, it comes down to the money side of things. What can we charge for this service? What is this service worth to the DMO in order to make this a viable option for everyone?
I like it. So, and still kind of in the process of putting the finishing touches on that, right? Like obviously we've started the process with some of our clients and things like that, but still kind of in its infancy, I would say. Is that fair?
Yeah, that's totally fair. You know, I think that with any new product or reimagined product, you're going to have the trial by fire and it doesn't always come out unscathed. You know, like some things won't go over as well. Some things don't carry the value that the time needed to go into it would from the client's perspective. And so finding what our team can really hone in on and specialize in, I think is going to be key. That yes, I would love to grow a team that we can do a full spread of all of the PR things you could ever want and more, but you've got to start small. I think that we have capability of growing, and I think that we have the capability of doing the things that I'm putting out there, but it's that relationship building and rebuilding the trust in the client that it's, if they had a bad experience or they don't know how I'm going to do, or they, you know, want to dip their toe in before they jump all the way in. Finding the ways to make that happen is kind of my big challenge right
yeah.
now. Like the products I understand, the DMO world I understand, but right now we're building relationships. I am building relationships with the clients and earning their trust as an individual and saying, oh, well, if this happened, I would love to do X, Y, and Z to piggyback on that and get you guys additional earned placements around the media.
Well, I think what you actually open up there is as you talk about rebuilding this product, I think we have a lot of destinations listening who would like to do a better job of public relations for the destinations, whether it's somebody in the role or an agency that's serving a destination or whatever. So maybe if I'm someone that's new to the industry or if I'm someone that's new to my role, give me, now that you've gone through this process, what is the step-by-step process if you were Andy starting as the PR director at Visit Cheyenne for the first time? How would you build your plan?
Well, I think that starting with Destinations International just put out a, well, just as in like 6 months ago now, but they recently put out the public relations playbook, I believe is what they called it. And the point of that is using the Barcelona principles that allow you to be able to quantify earned placements. That before it's just kind of like, oh, well, here's this piece. And sometimes it would be based on the ad value, the equivalent ad value that the piece, you know, that the article or whatever would have, or, you know, it just was very, but that would, there were sometimes some like equations that, oh, well, if it's only a blog, then it's this and you've got to divide it by, you know, and it was just a mess. And so what the PR world is trying to do is come up with a more uniform system. So I will, with the clients that engage with PR, will be developing a scale for them, for there is kind of a customized scale to determine what are the values of this article. Like, does it have a picture or video content? Do they mention your key talking points? Do they mention by name your partners? Do they have links outward if it's online? You know, those kinds of things, and giving them a numerical value allows you to determine, it allows you to compare articles and blogs and like all of these pieces that you've earned, give them a value, compare them to each other, and be able to speak to your stakeholders in an educated way that you can say, well, we did this work. We paid you know, whether you're doing it in-house or you're paying an agency. We had this agency put this out. We hosted these journalists, and this is what results. And here's why it's good. Here's why this one is stronger than the other one. And having that ability, so making it less qualifiable, but quantifiable with actual numbers and values, I think will really help DMOs understand the value of public relations as a whole. So I think that would be a good starting point, is to determine how you're going to rank the pieces that are out there, even if they weren't put out by your PR firm or by you. Like, if there are articles out there that are talking about Cheyenne or, you know, wherever your destination is, having a means of being able to rank that is phenomenal. Then after that, I think that understanding, and part of that process will be developing, truly understanding more of this about yourself, but figuring out what are your key messages? What do you want the media talking about? What are your priorities for your destination to get out into the world? And so identifying those is going to be key, because then you know which audiences you want to reach and which media outlets you want to go through and which journalists are working through those people. And so I think knowing yourself is absolutely essential. And I think that sometimes we kind of take for granted. We're like, oh yeah, well, we know ourselves. But like really, really understanding. And sometimes it comes down to good branding. I think that definitely helps the process, because you've identified, oh, well, Cheyenne's a cowboy town, but it's really kind of the new old west that has incorporated some of that new ideas through the lens of that frontier. Like, as a very specific example, but truly being able to understand what you want, then you can successfully push it out. So making sure that my clients understand that is key.
Yeah, Andy, I think one of the things that you said that I just want to make sure I point out very clearly is, because I think this is unique. I didn't expect this to be your first answer. But step one is understand how you're going to measure your success, because you need to go to the Destinations International playbook that they put out and how to measure public relations, decide what your plan is to measure, set goals, and then go into key messages and audiences and all of that. Because And I really like that you said, let's start with how we're going to measure it first, because so many of us will go through the process of starting these initiatives and then at the end we'll say, okay, now, was it successful? How are we going to measure that? And we decide the measurement or the metrics after the fact, instead of understanding them at the beginning and planning to those metrics all along the way. I think that's a profound first step that you've said needs to be there.
It's always good to hear that from your boss.
It's still fresh. It's still. I don't feel like your boss yet. I feel like we're chatting at Destinations International.
For sure.
Well, so Andy, you said we'll get in and start with the key messages. You identify your audiences. You've used a term several times that I think I want to dig in on. You keep saying the word earned, and it's very important to me as kind of someone that's trying to look holistically at destination marketing. I think there's 3.5 types of media, I'll tell you why. I think the first one is paid media, and I think that's a very traditional way of attempting to generate attention, right? Is renting access to someone else's audience through paid media. That's advertising, right? The second one is earned, and that's where I believe you're getting other people to talk about you through mostly unpaid means. And I do think the lines between paid and earned media are kind of blending more than they ever have before, but I do still think there's a layer of separation there. And then the third one would be owned media, which also I believe is blending a little bit with the shared media function as well. And owned media is where you're actually pushing stuff out through your own channels, and where we as an agency have been able to make a real impact on the industry is encouraging destinations to start owned media channels like a podcast, which has really kind of taken off and kind of expanded the industry's view on owned media as a whole. The reason I said and a half is because a lot of people will classify social media under a category of shared media, whereas I kind of feel like I would classify what you're posting on your channels as still owned media, and then I would classify what other people are posting on social about you as earned media. And I feel like the shared media could potentially go away, but I do understand the argument for shared media being that fourth category. So anyway, the whole reason I give that background is you've talked about earned media several times, and I'd like to understand from your perspective, what is earned media and why does it have such a significant value for tourism destinations specifically?
I love earned media because I feel like it can be the most authentic. It's not always, I mean, you kind of hinted at I feel like it's kind of gotten a little weird with influencers because many influencers get paid for their work. And so it gets a little timey-wimey, so to speak. But for the Doctor Who fans out there, I feel like earned placement and getting people to talk about your destination on your behalf is a more trustworthy source of information than the destination itself from the audience's perspective. If you follow a travel writer, whether they call themselves a travel writer or not, if they've got a blog or their social media channels or whatever that you're following along on and you enjoy watching them travel all over, once you start really respecting their opinions and wondering what they like about a place and want to know more about a place, you're trusting them. And so if someone who you trust is saying, oh, you should come see this great restaurant in Cheyenne because they're doing amazing forward-thinking things, you're more likely to go there. Whereas I could buy an ad or I could put out social media and hope that you see it and say, hey, Cheyenne's the best place ever. But of course, I have to say that. They're paying me to say that, you know? And I always made that a joke. you know, like I said, oh, I love Cheyenne. They pay me to say that, but I really mean it, you know? and I think that getting other people to tell your story is a more interesting and more believable, in some ways more authentic way to get the message out there because the audience believes it. And I personally put a lot of value in that type of media just because it's not just me saying this is a good place because I work for the destination. This is an outsider saying it's cool.
Yeah, absolutely. So as you're talking about that it's more authentic because other people are talking about you without like an overt, hey, I was paid to do this. This is an advertisement, all that. There, it doesn't appear that there's any incentive for the person to say that other than they're telling you their opinion or they're telling you the truth, right? Which I think is really interesting. But earned media would insinuate that there's some action or work that's taking place to earn that placement, right? So I guess, what is the work that earns that placement? And, you know, how should destinations that are hoping, let's say my dream as a destination is, man, I would love for National Geographic to come in and do a feature on my destination in that, and I know that everybody, sure, that'd be great, right? but what kind of work goes into generating that kind of earned media placement?
Well, I think it's twofold, and I think that it's on both sides of the, you know, of this table. Your PR firm or your in-house PR person is going to need to build some serious relationships for such a huge, I mean, like that is an extreme example,
sure.
But you've got to have relationships with the writers who are working for these publications. And so that can take the form of, you know, responding to their tweets or following them, getting alerts on what they're putting out. And so that you're understanding what they're working on. Finding the right writer for your destination is huge. So doing the research to figure out who would be the best fit. Okay, we've got these 17 people who write and contribute as freelancers to Travel and Leisure, for example. Which one would be the best fit for us now? And what other publications do they also write for that they could put additional content out to on your behalf, or could use you in a listicle or a roundup or whatever. Really being strategic on who you have that connection with, and eventually on, ideally, you've got them coming into the market. So they're not just reading about it and imagining and then writing about it. Having them in destination is so vital to have them have the experiences, smell the smells and do the activities and get their boots dirty. And, you know, all of those things that a visitor really would do if they came here. And so that onus is on The onus is then on the destination to create an engaging, thoughtful itinerary and host them, and whatever that ends up looking like. If you're covering the whole bill, awesome. If you're, you know, just getting some of your partners to donate some attraction tickets, or whatever your destination can afford and your partners are up for, in exchange for that media can be a huge, huge bonus if you're doing it strategically and finding the right people. But you've got to do the work to get the right people.
So these writers, if they are the right writers, most likely get a lot of pitches, right? A lot of people want to bring, you said get them there in person, right? Well, a lot of people want these writers there in person. How do you craft a piece of communication to make your destination stand out from the other destinations that might be requesting their attention?
There are a number of thoughts on this. Basically, the format, I'm going to pitch to them. And there's, I heard a figure, it's only like 8% of pitches actually get placement. So don't get discouraged is rule number one, keep trying. But really getting down to the nitty gritty right out the gates and saying, not wasting their time, they're getting all of these things. So just saying, we've got a good opportunity for highlighting the women's suffrage movement in Cheyenne, because that was the first place that they were allowed to, Wyoming was the first state to allow women to vote. Well, it was territory. Anyway, I digress. finding a creative and interesting story that would fit their beat, that fits what they are writing and the things that they write about, carefully honing what you're pitching to whom you're pitching it is key. Cutting things down to what are relevant to them is going to be your key to success there. Because you may have the coolest story idea and you're like, oh, well, there's this guy who cooks hot dogs on the beach, but he uses shrimp in them, or, you know, I don't know. Anyway, you've got this, but then you pitch it to somebody who covers tech. Like, it could be the best written pitch in the world, but if you're sending it to the wrong person, you've just wasted everyone's time, your own included.
So would it make sense, let's say I've identified a writer, and I know it's the right writer to come to the destination, and maybe they've written about other destinations in the past. If they said that they had some sort of experience while they're in the destination, maybe they tried a dessert that's unique to the destination, would it make sense for me as someone trying to generate this writer to come to our destination to find a comparable dessert or maybe a treat or something like that that's unique to our destination and send that with the pitch as opposed to just another email?
I mean, you could do that. You would definitely, like, you send the dessert itself. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, well, I'm thinking more along the lines of if you've got like a candy shop or if there's sure. I know that one of our clients is in Vernal, Utah, and they've got this little candy shop that I got to tell you is just, every time I go there, I make terrible decisions for my health. But it's called Little Sweet Pea. And every time I'm there, I go kind of stock up on their different chocolates and things like that. And it makes me wonder if I found a travel writer that had written about a candy shop somewhere else or had written about something that could be comparable, man, if I sent them some chocolate-covered raisins or whatever their treat of choice seems to be that they've written about, wouldn't that feel so much more personal than just an email that says, story pitch. You know what I mean?
Hey, yeah. No, I think that's a really great tactic. And actually, what I would probably do is incorporate that into a desk side. So those of you who are not familiar with desk sides, basically you're sitting down one-on-one with journalists one at a time. And it would most likely be, you know, if I were your PR person, it would be me and then someone from the DMO. And then together we talk to these different journalists. You would line up a bunch of them in a day or two that you're getting all of these meetings lined up, that you can talk to them about different things and identify what's important to them on their beat. But that's a really great place for them to, for you to identify like, okay, well, they talk about this. I'm going to bring this gift for this writer. If you really wanted to get down and dirty and personal with them, that would probably blow their socks off. They might assume that everybody got those chocolates, but who cares? You know, like if you're really narrowing it down to them, that would be a really great strategy.
Well, but what you just highlighted though, is I think exactly why it makes sense to make sure that you are either hiring someone that has experience with this or that you're working with someone that has this kind of experience, because maybe I would be wasting that tactic on a, you know, just a mail pitch. Whereas you're like, no, this is much more appropriate for a desk side. Right. And so I think you're the reason I'm really excited to have you, Andy, in our organization and to work with our clients is because we might have ideas that we've done bits and pieces of in the past. The client may have ideas that they've tried before, and you can take those ideas and really tailor them to the specific goals and metrics that you're setting out as step one as you're building the plan, right? And I'm really excited to see that come to fruition. Is there anything, Andy, that I haven't asked you that you think would be good for either our current or potential clients or listeners to hear about PR for tourism destinations?
I think that there is a lack of, I don't want to say understanding, but I think people really seem to stick to the pitch writing and maybe some of those face-to-face things, but there is a lot of power in event-based public relations as well. So whether that is a luncheon with a bunch of journalists from a market that does well as far as website traffic goes, for example, going to that destination and meeting the journalists where they're at is a really great way to get to know them, understand who you want to bring into the community and who you want to work with. That is a strategy that people aren't necessarily thinking of first. And it was a strategy that when I was at Visit Cheyenne, it was actually our marketing firm pitched it. And they worked with our PR firm in order to make connections with some of the journalists. And it worked out really, really well. We also talked about going down to Denver and having a very Western experience to bring the destination to them, right? So, you know, it depends where you're at, but finding something that's unique to where you are and finding a way to capitalize that and take it to journalists, I think is such a cool experience, and it's memorable. And again, is an incentive for them to actually come visit you in destination. They get a little, it's like an appetizer in a way. And yeah, it's an investment. It's definitely an investment in your public relations budget, but you're making an impression and truly building those relationships, because it's so much easier to go into a destination as a writer if you know somebody, you've met them before. This isn't just cold turkey.
Yeah. I mean, that's why it's called earned media, right? Is because it does take a lot of work to earn that placement. And I think those event type tactics are underutilized. I think that's a great point.
Yeah. Yeah. So just kind of finding that what is something that we're not doing? What haven't we tried? What could we do? What's unique about us that we can find a way to package in a unique way to get people thinking about your destination?
Great. Andy, if somebody heard this and was just like, I got to have Andy helping me with my PR, what's the best way for somebody to get a hold of you?
Well, you can always email me at Andy, A-N-D-I, at relicagency.com, or you can visit our website at relicagency.com.
Great. Andy, this has been so fun. It's great to now have you in a different capacity here, working with me here at Relic, and really excited for all that you're currently doing and what you're going to accomplish in your new department. So thanks for joining me for a few minutes.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And thanks everybody for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode, please don't hesitate to leave us a rating or a review. It really helps us bring you amazing guests like Andy. Thanks everybody. Have a great week.